Speaking this morning to the context specific to where we are and what we are about in this season in the life of our church, I bring to you these texts from Exodus 35 and 36. These texts are in preparation for the building of the tabernacle of God. So I remind you that this is the eternally true and trustworthy, faithful word of the living God as he speaks to us. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram's skins and goat skins, acacia wood." After hearing Moses, then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart. And then in the next chapter, Exodus 36, as the work is now progressing, the craftsmen received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing this work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and the word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do the work and more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? Holy Father, open our eyes and ears that we might receive from you what your Spirit is saying to us today. Remove blindness and dullness. Stir up our hearts as you did your people of old. Holy Spirit, be for us a living, refining fire for the sake of Jesus. Amen. The Phase 3 Building the Future proposal that has been presented to us now these last weeks is no doubt one of the biggest things that has been done in the lifetime of anyone in this church, I think. It's bigger than Phase 1 and Phase 2 put together. And a month ago, I called us to begin praying in earnest for God's wisdom and for His leading, for His will in this. And this morning, we enter into a next step. It's the pledge process. And you've found, perhaps, or you will, those yellow cards in your box. For the next 5 weeks, I encourage all of us to continue to pray. Don't stop now. Continue to pray and to ask God to show us what He wants to do and how He wants to provide for what it is that He wants to do among us. Now, we've all seen the concept drawings. We've read or heard about the vision that's behind them. A great team of people in our flock have been working on this for over 5 years. And from the input that's been received before and at last Tuesday's town hall meeting, there will be adjustments and refinements, improvements made. And then, based on the pledges, we will see what it is that God will enable us to do. So our text this morning give us Israel's first building project. This was their Phase 1, building a tabernacle. And it's interesting, 500 years later, they would build Phase 2, which was the temple. So it seems to me we could say that as church building projects go, we're moving at lightning speed here. I mean, we're at phase three in only 20 years. Now, there are some significant differences between their building project and ours. God gave directly to Moses detailed architect drawings. I don't think that's been your experience, right, Brian? No. Okay, well, keep praying, man. God gave precise instructions and measurements for how everything should be made that would go into the tabernacle. Each piece of furniture, even down to the clothes that the priests would wear. I don't need Brian to get involved on that part. We're good. Eight chapters of Exodus devoted to how they should build it. And then God became the project manager, and he got all of his own subcontractors, if you will. He gave specific spirit-anointed gifts and abilities and talents to specific people to do each of the tasks. You can read their names and what they did in Exodus. And finally, God stirred the hearts of the people to supply all the building materials, to raise all the funds for the project. So God was the architect, the project manager, and the fundraiser. Now, as I said, he's not dropped these architect plans out of heaven to us, but he has provided us with people with the skills, the abilities, the talents to do that, and the people who will be necessary to build whatever it is we need to build. So as I see it now, we're at the stir the hearts of the people stage. So would you consider with me several ways in which what God did in building the tabernacle also applies to us? I'm going to consider four things. Who should give? How should we give? What should we give? And how much should we give? That's a lot to cover there. Let's see. Who should give? Moses spoke to all the congregation. He gathered the whole church family, everyone, men and women, young and old, rich and poor. When God wants to do something in our world, in our lives, he doesn't just do it all by himself. He doesn't just send some holy angels down who, of course, would do it perfectly. No, he uses people. He uses men and women, rich and poor, young and old, all of them sinners, mind you. And he invites us to participate with him, to share together in his mission and in his work. So a team of our brothers and sisters, those we know from among us, have devoted time and energy and prayer to seek to help us do something for God, for his glory, that will also benefit and bless many, and not just us here and now, but for many years to come. Now consider how we are all a part of the body of Christ. We're all in this together. And so let's participate in this together. How many of us have appreciated phase two behind me here and been blessed by it, been benefited from it, and seen how it has blessed others and the ministries in our flock? Everyone who will be blessed by what God does should participate. I'm not going to give to the phase three project because I think it's perfect or because I think it's everything that I want or like. I'm not even going to give because I think I'm going to benefit from it for a long time. I'm kind of getting old. I don't think I will. I'm giving because we're family. We're in this together. And I trust the sovereign God to work all things according to his purpose and plan. So I'm willing to put family ahead of my own personal preferences or likes or dislikes. I invite all of us to share the load, to share the privilege, to share the blessing. I'm moved to invest in something that's bigger than me and that will outlive me, will outlast me. I'm moved by Jesus' challenge to lay up treasures in heaven. I'm moved because I love this church. I love this flock. I love the people and the ministry here. And I want to give to future generations who will worship and be ministered to here. I sometimes find myself pausing and realizing that in my short time here, I'm standing on the shoulders of 100 years worth of saints giving, serving, and doing something then that they wouldn't participate and be blessed by, but I am and we are. Who should give? The whole family together. How should we give? We read here twice it says, whoever is of generous heart. For those of you who were here last Sunday in the mission celebration, you'll remember I got emotional when my son Todd and granddaughter Rose carried in the flag of Albania. Now, it's just a flag, right? I mean, what's the big deal? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Our previous church in Oklahoma City was heavily invested in planting and building the church in Albania for all of our 15 years there. And that's where I was introduced to that work. In fact, Albania was my first overseas mission trip. I would end up taking 5 of such trips there. It was a time when God took me way outside the boat, way outside my comfort zone, way past living by sight and living by my abilities to having to live and serve by faith. And I experienced the grace of God in profound and powerful ways in those experiences. Fema and I and our church there invested in those people. We prayed for them. We loved them. And the church gave tens of thousands of dollars to the work there and to Vaughn and Sue Golder and to their church and the churches they were planting and to the orphanage that was there in Tirana. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where is your treasure? What have you invested in that's of eternal value and eternal significance? Where's the place that when you think about it, your heart is stirred and maybe some tears well up in your eyes? How many of us, of course, have laid up treasures here? Even to the point where your heart is moved when you think about First Church and what God has done here and how He's ministered to you and fed you and given you a sense of purpose as you share your gifts with others and has been there for you in time of need. How has God been generous to you? And is your heart stirred to be generous toward God? Does your heart want to be? We can gather from our text here that there were two kinds of people in the congregation of Israel. Those whose hearts were stirred by a generous spirit and those who were not. Would you like to have a different heart toward this place? Would investing, would putting some real skin in the game make that kind of a difference? Now notice, the giving is free. It's voluntary. No tricks, no gimmicks, no hard sell, no guilt, no shame. Moses announces what the Lord has commanded him to announce. He appeals to them to have a generous heart, and then he leaves it to those hearts to be stirred to bring the contribution to the Lord. Their giving was from a heart of love for God, from a desire for His presence to be with them, from a heart of gratitude for all that God had done for them, and from a heart of faith that God's promises would continue to be fulfilled. What we give to God and what we do for God is acceptable to Him when it comes from the willing hearts of willing people. God wants our hearts more than anything else. So, do what you do from a willing heart, from a joyful heart, from a glad heart, from a giving heart. And remember, generosity comes only out of a new heart. A heart that's been transformed by the Spirit. A heart that's been transformed by Jesus. The Israelites, they had been delivered from slavery, from the death angel. Their lives had literally been saved. And they gave out of a sheer desire to bless and show love to God for who He is and what He had done. What should we give? Well, Moses listed it here: gold, silver, bronze, yarns, fine linen, goat skins. I don't know, Paul, can we handle all those things? Yeah. Now there's a mystery here. Where did they get all this stuff? I mean, these are the children of Israel living in tents in the wilderness. They just escaped from Egypt, you know, hastily, just taking what they could take. And they have only been here a couple of months, so I don't think they really had time to accumulate wealth and assets. Well, back in Exodus 12, remember when they were leaving Egypt? The Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. They took gold and silver. They took ornaments and jewelry and maybe anything that wasn't nailed down, I don't know, that was of value, and off they went. So what does this mean? This means that what they had by the grace of God, not their own doing. And isn't this true for all of us? What do you have that you have not received? Ultimately, you can track and trace every single gift, every single thing that you have back to God. We only ever give to the Lord what He's already given to us. Remember, I mentioned the phase two project of building the temple 500 years later, and David in 2 Chronicles is like Moses, gathering the resources so that his son Solomon will be able to build it. And he says in a prayer, "But who am I, Lord? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." It is all from God. All we give has already come from Him. Now notice the wide range of gifts here. Everyone was able to participate. One bringing gold, one bringing goat skins. A person out of their poverty was able to bring a gift, and their gift was no less acceptable to God than the rich person giving out of their abundance. So some of you can bring gold, some silver, some goat skins. And those who can give gold should give gold and not bronze. And those who can give fine twined linen should give that and not just goat skins. Remember how Paul commended the churches in Macedonia, and they were poor. He commended the churches in Macedonia who gave according to their means and beyond their means, of their own accord, he says. Now, if you wish that you could give more than goat skins, but it's all you have, give it gladly, knowing that God knows your heart and receives the gift. God doesn't look at the amount on the check. He looks at the attitude of the heart. So, to you who are poor, this opportunity is God's grace to you to be able to participate. And to you who are rich, this opportunity is God's grace to you to exercise your faith. Back in the early church, when they were just getting going in Acts, you remember there were needs. And Barnabas sold some of his land and brought the gifts to the disciples. Back in Jesus' day, a little boy gave his lunch, a couple loaves and some fish. And Jesus received it and blessed it. There was that old widow who gave two copper coins, and she is remembered and honored in Scripture to this day. And then there was Zacchaeus, four times whatever he had taken. A variety of ways. We did a fundraising campaign in our last church, and we encouraged families to do something together. Have a garage sale, have a bake sale, give some or all the proceeds to the Building the Future Fund. One family gave the church their used minivan. Some kids gave their babysitting money, and some their allowance, some their from their summer job. You could sell something on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. Have you received an extra, a windfall, an inheritance, a return on an investment? Consider what a willing and generous heart, stirred by the Holy Spirit, would do for the future generations for the glory of God. Finally, the fourth thing, how much should we give? It says in 35:20, then all the congregation departed from the presence of Moses after they'd heard what Moses said. The whole congregation left Moses and went back to their tents and started having conversations about what to give and how much to give toward this phase one tabernacle project that Moses put out there. Now, how do you suppose those conversations went? Well, I don't think people have changed much in 3,500 years. So I have a feeling those conversations went pretty much like ours. And there was this wrestling, this little struggle between the flesh and the spirit. So they got out their piggy banks and their checkbooks and the latest statements from the bank or the investment firm. They looked at how many tents they owned, how many four-legged cars they had. They looked at their expenses, what they needed, what did they have, what was doable. I mean, all these kinds of conversations. And there's this struggle going on between living by sight and living by faith, and giving by sight and giving by faith. Now, what is giving by sight? I think giving by sight works this way. You look at what you have, you think about what you need, you think about what you can do without. Maybe you got a little extra. What won't hurt too much? And there you go. I think for most of us, if we start thinking about a number, the first number that we're most likely to come up with will be a sight number. That's how it works with me. I think you're probably like me. Well, I urge us to stop and to think about what giving by faith might look like. It will be a number that might stretch you, a number that might cost you, a number that might set back some of your other plans that you had. It might be the kind of number that will come from a person in whom the Holy Spirit is stirring and moving to do more than what flesh would consider. It'll be a number that will reflect Jesus, his sacrifice, his generosity, his blessings to us, that we might be a blessing to others. So when you look at this little pledge card here, there's 15 numbers on there. And the first number that you're going to gravitate to might be the sight number. The one you're most comfortable with. But before you circle it, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to stir your heart. Ask the Spirit what He would have you give by faith. You might not even have all of it just yet, but by faith you believe for it, that God will provide. So giving by faith might take the first number you thought of and increase it. Or maybe it would move it up a number or two on the list, or double it, or add a zero to it, or I don't know. Pray, wait, ask, listen. Whatever you give, I encourage you to let the Spirit stir you, to give you faith, to trust God's supply, and to see how God then blesses that with joy. You can't outgive God. So before you pick the number, the convenient number, go home, pray, wait. I'm not Moses, but as they went out from Moses and went home, listen, test, then decide. Take into consideration all that you already possess and where it came from. Give in a way that makes your heart glad. That's what we want here. Then you know it was the Spirit. And glad before God, not before man. Give for the glory of the Lord in this place. Give for the future generations that will worship and serve and minister in this place. Well, there you have it. This is one of those rare moments in Scripture where the people of God did the right thing in the right way with the right heart. And it was beautiful to behold. And the result was astonishing. They just kept on giving until they had to wave a white flag and surrender. It's enough, enough already. And by the way, what incredible integrity of those men. I mean, what would be the temptation to do with all that surplus? You know, nobody's okay. I mean, nobody's going to notice. The work was done. Remarkable what the Spirit is doing here. They didn't give like the devil. They gave like God. And God delights to give and loves to bless and does more than we ask or imagine. I leave you with the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Holy Father, I commit into your hands all that's been said and heard in this time, and ask that you would guard and keep it, that you will cause it to be for good, and Lord, that you will accomplish your will and your work in each of our hearts and in our flock, and only, Lord, for your glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.